if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Genesis 17, Genesis 17 for this afternoon. We are in the story of Abraham. We are considering how he is growing in his understanding of God, his relationship with God. And we are also 13 years from the last time we saw Abraham, just one chapter and 1 week ago. 13 years. So 13 years ago, last Thursday, my oldest grandchild was born, our granddaughter Carice. 13 years ago tomorrow, Susan and I expertly moved from our house in Colwood to our house in Souk. And that's a family joke because then Debbie came and rearranged everything afterwards. She was in Edmonton helping with the baby. And the baby had shocked the world by coming early. So she was, she's a great delight. She got all A's on her report card last week. See, I gotta tell you all the good stuff. So a lot has happened in 13 years. I looked up. Do you remember who was Prime Minister 13 years ago? Stephen Harper. He had just won a majority government that year. Didn't do anything with it, but let's not talk about that. In our family, Susan lived at home at that time. Cullen and Kaylee were off at school. But that all soon changed. Susan went back to school, then became a teacher, moving from South Carolina to California to Indiana, and now to North Carolina in 13 years. A couple years in each place. Cullen came home, then moved out. Now Sydney showed up, so that was good. And Norman and Meher Shel El Hashbaz, soon to arrive, are showing up, right? And Kaylee came home and she's still here. Which is so far. If I keep on like this, she may leave. So instead of one grandchild, we now have seven, and with one more coming, that'll be eight. Many blessings. Four boys and four girls. So that'll be good. Looking forward to that day. So what a blessing, all these things. So what has happened in your life in the last 13 years? You think back. A lot can happen in 13 years, right? A lot of changes. Kids grow up. Like you think about your kids. Those of them, you know, we got these teenagers, lovely kids in our church, the things they're doing. 13 years ago, you were just little rugrats. I mean, that's what you were. And we're glad to have you. Such a blessing. Okay, I'll quit fooling around. So we, as I said, we turned the page from chapter 16 to chapter 17. That's 13 years. So what happened in those 13 years? We don't know. Now Ishmael was born, chapter 16. And then Abram named him. Abram saw him grow, saw him develop. You think about that. He was 80. Let's see. 75. Oh, I gotta get this straight. He was 85 when Ishmael was born. 86. Close enough. Close enough. Don't throw me off with my math. 86. He was 86. So he's 99 in this chapter. That gets emphasized several times in chapter 17. 13 years, a lot happened. And 13 is auspicious for us because now you're talking teenager, although there's not that much difference between 12 years old and 13 years old, really. Not that much difference. Okay. So, what happened during those years? How did Sarah and Hagar get along during those years? Remember there was that big fight in chapter 16. How did Sarai get along with baby Ishmael? That little boy growing up in the household. What did Abraham think as he watched Ishmael grow? And how do they relate to one another? We have some indication in our chapter today that Abram loved Ishmael as only a father can love a son. Did God talk to Abram during those 13 years? We have no record of it. No doubt many things happened during those years, but chapter 17 opens with God speaking to Abram, and Abram is 99 years old, and Sarai is 89. One of my commentaries says this chapter is more of a theological treatise than the typical Abraham story. The chapter marks a permanent change in the lives of Abram and Sarai and a momentous day in Hebrew history. So, we're going to read the whole chapter. I don't have it on the screen. Too many verses. I didn't put it on the screen. So if you want to have your Bible open and follow with me, I'm going to read the whole chapter. Now, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you. You will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God said further to Abraham, Now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. And every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations. A servant who was born in the house who is bought with money, or who is bought with money, from any foreigner who is not of your descendants. A servant who is born in your house or who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. Thus shall my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. But an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Then God said to Abraham, notice the change there. Let's just go back here. It says, God appeared to Abram and said to him, and Abram fell on his face. There he changes the name, and then the next time, God spoke to Abraham. As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come after her, or come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. And said in his heart, Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. But God said, No. But Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him, and I will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year. When he finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all the servants who were born in his house, and all who were brought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's household, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the very same day as God said to him. Now Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael's son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And the very same day Abraham was circumcised, and Ishmael his son, all the men of his household who were born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. So that is the sign of the covenant. All right. So there are a couple things I want to show you. One of my commentators, of course, has seen a chiasm in this passage. Okay, so there it is. Now, he sees it this way, the introduction, Abram is 99. And then he sees at the end, the conclusion, Abraham is 99. So he sees that parallel when the mention of 99 is at the beginning and at the end. Then he goes 1b to 22, covenant revealed. And then, verse 23, circumcision inaugurated. And then he goes 1b to 8, covenant promises announced. 15 to 22, covenant promises explained. And then in the middle, the sign of circumcision prescribed. Now, that is possible. But when you look at that, is there anything that sticks out to you as somewhat implausible as an original intention of the author to make it into a chiasm? Anything that sticks out? Rob?
Overlapping of verses?
Well, okay, so which verses are you talking about? Overlapping?
So, 1B to 8 is also 1B to 22.
Well, he's breaking that down, but you're heading in the right direction with that comment. Okay? He's breaking down 1B to 22 in the middle section. But what, and Cullen, did you want to add something?
It was kind of along the same lines, just that there's so much under like 1B to 22, and then 23 is the other.
That's right. Okay, that's the thing. That's the thing that caught my attention. Okay, so he's saying 1B to 22, covenant revealed, then circumcision inaugurated, one verse. You got 22 verses that are one point, and one verse is another point, and they're supposed to be parallel. So that, to me, seems a little artificial. Okay, so, but a nice try, okay? So therefore, I have to go one better. Here's my outline. Okay, so introduction, the expanded covenant, Abram to Abraham. So a lot of things about the covenant are repeated in these first 8 verses. Things that we've seen before. But there's a certain emphasis. We'll talk about that in a moment. But then notice the sign of the covenant is revealed. Okay, that's one point. And then the end of the chapter, the sign of the covenant is adopted. And in the middle of the chapter, the joy of the covenant revealed in Isaac. So I think that, now I'm not sure that God intended that this be a chiastic structure. But if you outline it that way, it makes a little bit more sense. In my opinion, because of course that was my outline. Okay? Now, here's the proposition we're going to work on here. God permanently altered Abram's life, name, body, and future for the blessing of many nations in days to come. That's a thing that we want to think about. Okay. So the movement from Abram to Abraham. This is that first thing, the first 8 verses. This is the big deal. So the meaning of the name, Abraham, or Abram, it means exalted father. Abraham means father of nations. Okay. The name change is a feature of this repetition of the covenant. It's a big deal because not only does he change Abram's name, he also changes Sarai's name. We'll talk about that a little bit later down. One of the commentators says that patriarch's name change was crucial. The name Abram, meaning exalted father, hark back to Terah, Abram's father, and implied that Abram came from royal lineage. But in Hebrew, the name Abraham sounds similar to father of a multitude of nations. His new name implied a look ahead to his descendants. So he's making that big point. The big emphasis of this iteration, this occasion of the God voicing the covenant is descendants. Now we've had that before. Okay, I will bless you, your seed will be as the sand of the seashore and all this. We've had that before. But we're going to see that he is going to talk about multiplication in this instance when he utters the covenant. So I want you to just scan down by verse as I mentioned them. So look at verse 2. He says, I will multiply you exceedingly. Verse 4, you will be the father of a multitude of nations. Verse 5, I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. Verse 6a, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. Verse 6b, I will make nations of you. Verse 6c, kings will come forth from you. You think about, Ishmael is mentioned here in this chapter. But if you look to Genesis, is it 24 or 25? Well, 25, I have the note right there. So Abram had other sons. One of them we are familiar with, Midian. So from Abram is the Ishmaelites, the Midianites, the Zimranites, the Jokshanites, the Medanites, the Ishbakites, and the Shuahites. Okay, you look at those names in Genesis 25 verse 2. They are physical representations of the multiplication of Abram's seed. The father of many nations. Abraham, the father of many nations. But there's also this. Romans 4:16, for this reason it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So not only to Abraham is counted, because of his faith and his covenant with God, not only to him is counted those physical descendants, the Israelites, those seven other nations, if you want to put it that way, of his descendants. But there is also all of us who are spiritually sons of Abraham. So the blessing of the covenant to his descendants is mentioned in verses 7 and 8. I want you to notice that also. He says there, this is an everlasting covenant. This covenant extends to your descendants. I will be God to you and to your descendants after you. It involves the land. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings. And it involves a relationship with God. I will be their God. Interesting. He says this, he uses here your descendants. Now, he's in the first part of this, up to verse, up to verse 6, he's talking about multitudes. He's talking about nations. He's talking about kings. In verse 7 and 8, he's talking about your descendants. Descendants means those who physically come from your body. And I think he means your body and Sarah's body. Okay, so the nations is one thing, but here he's talking about this covenant he's making with that people, the people of Israel. Okay? So the essence of the covenant is not forgotten, but the breadth of the covenant is exponentially expanded. When you go from Abram to Abraham, that's what that means. Second thing is the covenant fruitfulness is centered on Isaac. And I've created another little chiasm here. So I'm into chiasms this week. So you have verses 15 to 17, Sarah, the mother of nations. That's where he changes her name. And then verses 21 to 22, Sarah will bear Isaac. Verse 18, a request for Ishmael. Verse 20, a provision for Ishmael. And verse 19, the revelation of Isaac. Okay, so I do think that does parallel that way. You can outline it that way anyway. Okay, it's not... You know, did God intend for it to be that way? But here's the thing. From Sarai to Sarah, Sarai equals my princess. It seems like it's a diminutive because Sarah means princess also. So Sarai is like my little princess, if you want to put it that way. A diminutive. So we have diminutives when we have a nickname for our children. So, my wife's name is, of course, Deborah. She's a Hebrew. It's a Hebrew word. But, of course, she goes by Debbie. Debbie is a diminutive. Okay? And so we will talk about our kids, and we'll have little pet names for them. We'll shorten their name, some of them have names you can't really shorten. But some of them, and then you do all kinds of weird things with your kids' names. But it's because you love them. They're little. So Sarai, I think maybe that's what it is. She's been known by this all her life. 89 years. God says, okay, now you're Sarah. Now you've grown up. I don't know if that's what it means. Okay, but now you're Sarah, the mother of kings. So there is an elevation and an expansion of Sarah's role in this revelation. The focus of the covenant is Isaac. And of course, Isaac means laughter. We know that. And we all know, we think to the story, which is still to come, where Sarah laughed when she heard the announcement from the angel. Like, oh, right, I'm 89. How's this going to work? Okay. Guess who else laughed? Right here in this chapter, Abraham laughed. Sarah laughed. Like, he's going, really? And he reveals his thoughts. He doesn't verbalize this to God. It's just going on in his head. I'm going to have a kid at 100 and Sarah at 90? Like, really? Sure, it's going to happen. How is that going to happen? Okay, now, it's interesting. Some of the commentaries say, oh, God didn't rebuke Abraham, but he sort of rebuked Sarah for her laughter. I don't think so. There's not enough evidence in the text for me to say that. I think he just said, no, you're going to have a kid. It may be funny, but you're going to have one. And, of course, he's named Laughter. That's what Isaac means. Now, and explicitly he says, now before he's been saying to Abram back then, you will have a son. You will have a son. He has no son. Years and years go by. You will have a son. And then now God says, you and Sarah will have a son. But the Lord doesn't forget Ishmael. And notice it says that God blessed Ishmael. What verse is that in? Verse 20. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him. and I will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, etc., etc. Okay? God plans to bless him. But the joy of God's eternal covenant is that the working of it depends on him, not on man. Ishmael represents man trying to help God out with this problem of Abraham's childlessness. Man's trying to help God out. Sarah and Abram, they came up with this plan, and God said, well, no, that's not it. Nice try. I will bless Ishmael because he's your son, but he's not the one. Okay? God is going to solve Abraham's inheritance problem miraculously through Sarah. So the covenant fruitfulness centered on Isaac. The next thing is the significance of the sign. Now, the Abrahamic circumcision is unique. The Egyptians and some Semitic groups employed circumcision, and according to the commentaries, now I don't know, I'm just following what the commentaries say, this is predominantly as a puberty rite, so as a child becomes, what would they be, about 13 or so, or a marriage rite when they get married. This is something the Egyptians and some Semitic groups in ancient history apparently did. For Abraham's people, it became a permanent lifelong sign from the eighth day, which is revealed here in this passage. Interesting, the eighth day corresponded with the 7 days of uncleanness for a new mother. Interesting. Not sure if there's a connection, but there is that parallel. It also corresponded with the Day of Atonement, the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. So there's that parallel in days. It included all the males of Israel, okay, with females covered by a relationship to the father or to the husband. So that's the first thing. It is unique among the nations because it is a lifelong sign. Lifelong. What does it mean? Well, the nature of the sign reminded every Israelite of the promise concerning the seed of Abraham and the multitude of nations. That's the big emphasis of this chapter. Your multitudes, 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 kings, nations. And then you're going to have a sign of the covenant, the circumcision. It is focusing on the reproduction of kings and nations and peoples from Abraham. The sign involved the removal of flesh, just as God called for a circumcised heart. And you'll see that in the Old Testament a few times. It's also mentioned in the New Testament. It symbolizes separation from sin. So it means that. And it also marked the sons of Abraham as clean in the sight of God. If you were to refuse it, now I don't know how an 8-day-old boy would refuse it, but if the parents refused it for their son, or if somebody was a convert to Judaism and refused it, it says they will be cut off from their people. Now that can mean just simply excommunication, but it could also mean execution. So it marked the sons of Abraham as clean in the sight of God. Now, there are differences under the new covenant. We are not under the law. There's no requirement. This is not a law that now remains a law for us as Christians. Okay, it's not a requirement. We have circumcised hearts by the work of the Spirit in regeneration. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's as if your heart has calluses on it and God cuts it all away. That's the symbolism of it. And we have to say also that there is no parallel in baptism. Baptism is not a parallel of circumcision, no matter how much the Presbyterians try to make it so. Okay, it is not a parallel. We baptize boys and girls, and men and women, who are sincere believers, clear professors of faith in Christ. All right, and so then we have the response of Abraham. This is the big thing of the chapter. That same day, verse 26, it says, that same day. We also see Abraham taking the action. Some think he performed all the surgeries. And you think about 300 and some men in his household. According to one of the earlier chapters, that's a lot. I don't know if that's what it means. But all the men in the house received the sign, and again the age of Ishmael, of Abraham and Ishmael, are given. So our conclusion is this. God permanently altered Abram's life, his name, his body, and his future for the blessing of many nations in days to come. The great blessing for the world isn't physical, it's spiritual. Any man who turns to Abraham's great son, Jesus Christ, can have his heart circumcised, his sins forgiven, and eternal life in heaven. And so we have this great change. And this change meant blessing for the nations. It meant blessing for you and me. Now, that has an instructive for you. Helps you to worship God more. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for the grace of God that has spoken to us in this chapter. You graciously gave your covenant to Abram. We pray that to Abraham. We pray that we would experience the change, a renaming, a new name which no man knows, by walking with you and being a part of your family and being a part of your children. Lord, we pray that you would be with each one of us today. Help us to faithfully follow our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.